In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So one day there were two Episcopal clergy, and they were standing outside in front of their church near a busy intersection. And they were holding up a sign that said, "The end is near. Turn around before it's too late." And as the first car drove by, the driver rolled down his window and yelled, "Go back inside and leave us alone, you religious nuts." And a few minutes later, or a few moments later, from around the corner, there came the sound of screeching tires and a big crash. And the clergy exchanged glances with each other, and one of them said, "Maybe we should change our sign to read, 'The bridge is out.'" Signs can be tricky things, and if we're not careful, we can completely misunderstand them altogether. Now, in today's gospel lesson, we hear that Jesus performs one of his very first miracles, but John calls it a sign. And on the surface, this sign might seem a bit frivolous and even pointless to a certain degree, especially when you compare it to Jesus's other miracles of feeding 5,000 hungry people, or restoring sight to the blind, or raising someone from the dead. But a sign always points beyond itself to something with much greater significance. And so Jesus's first sign, found in today's gospel of turning water into wine at a wedding, has a much deeper and richer meaning. Now, first, it's important for us to note that weddings were extremely important in the life of a first century Jew, just as they continue to be today. I did some homework over the past week, and I found out that the average cost of a wedding here in the U.S. is around $30,000. But imagine a wedding that not only involved the bride and groom's family and friends, but the entire community, the entire town. And that's what a first century Jewish wedding looked like. And in those days, newlyweds didn't celebrate a wedding with a brief rehearsal on Friday evening and then a brief ceremony Saturday morning, followed by a honeymoon for the couple. Instead, a first century wedding consisted of a 7-day celebration and party at the home of the groom. So running out of wine wasn't just some minor inconvenience, but it would have brought shame upon that family for years to come. And not only that, but wine during this time period was seen as a sign of the harvest, as a symbol of God's joy, of God's abundance, and God's blessing. And so running out of wine would have felt like a curse, like you've run out of God's blessing. So in today's gospel lesson, when Jesus and his disciples finally arrive at the wedding, the celebration appears to be in serious trouble because the wine has run out long before this week-long celebration is over. And so Jesus takes the 180 gallons of water and turns them into wine. Now that's a lot of wine, isn't it? And just to give you an idea, it's just shy of 1,000 bottles of wine. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus didn't just turn the water into some generic two-buck chuck wine, but he turns it into the best wine the people had ever tasted. I love what the steward says in today's text. He says, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." In other words, through this first sign at a wedding, Jesus shows us God's extravagant love and grace as he gives 1,000 bottles of the finest vintage wine to some little wedding party in some backwater village. Now, just a few verses directly before today's gospel, John says this: "From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." So through this first sign, Jesus shows us just how much we are loved, wine upon wine, blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. That's what God has given us. And this is so important for us to remember, because as human beings, we are hardwired to scarcity, to lack, and to fear. For example, if we have 9 good and wonderful things happen to us today, and just 1 small bad thing, what do we spend our time and energy focusing on? The 1 minor bad thing, right? Which is why I'm so grateful that John reminds us in today's text that grace isn't only about making up for something we lack. It's not only about forgiveness and wiping our slate clean, but it's also about providing more than we ever deserve or could possibly imagine. I mean, Jesus could have provided just enough wine for that party to go on for that 7-day period, and he could have given them some of the cheap wine. But instead, he goes far beyond to provide better and more wine than they could have ever expected. Why does he do this? Because that's what grace looks like. That's who God is: extravagantly loving and abundantly forgiving, pouring himself out for us in the person of Jesus. You know, despite what some people believe and what some folks in the church have too often made him look like, Jesus was no killjoy. And Christianity is not this boring, lifeless religion about following a strict set of rules so that when we die, we get to go to heaven. When God entered into our world in the person of Jesus, the rejoicing, the party, and the celebration began. And because of who he is and what he has done for us, that celebration continues to this very day. Today, Jesus, he comes to us and he sees our predicament. He hears our news that the wine has run out. And many of us have come today feeling empty and dry. He sees our world full of anger and violence and hatred, political fighting and polarization, all in the midst of a pandemic. He sees us and he loves us, and he comes to pour out his life for us. But Jesus doesn't want to simply refill our glasses. He wants to transform our lives. And this sign of Jesus doesn't refer to some far-off day in the future. Instead, he comes to fill our lives to the brim with good wine and abundant life here and now. A life not of consumerism and consumption, which, as we know, only leads to more dryness and emptiness, but of life of service to God, a life of service to others, which will transform this broken and this hurting world. This is the good news. This is the gospel that we celebrate today. This is the true sign found at a wedding in Cana. Every moment of every day, Jesus longs to pour himself into the empty jars of our lives. And so today, with God's grace, may we remember and rejoice that Jesus is the good wine, extravagant, abundant, and endless. And today, may we invite this good wine to be poured into our lives, and may we be transformed into the people we were created to be, and live the lives of abundance and joy that we were meant to live. Amen.